We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Easter's a day of joy when we celebrate resurrection and renewal.
No laws really are neutral. All laws really do try to promote a certain idea of the good life.
Male and female are just simply identified, or they're just mere appearances, and you can change that. That is a lie of Satan that we need to understand, and the church needs to be prophetic enough to recognize what is going on there.
Wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is God, the Word, who was incarnate for our salvation. All other wisdoms are but frail or pale attempts to reflect him.
The Pegs from Port Huron, Michigan, love listening to Issues Etc. while feeding the cats.
One of this week's Associated Press headlines, California lifts limits on indoor worship services, still advises limiting capacity at 25%, comes as the result of not just one or two or three or four, but five Supreme Court battles over California's religion restrictions during the pandemic. Yes, this is the fifth time that the Supreme Court has had to deal with California on this issue. And in their latest, Tandon v. Newsom, they sent a pretty clear message. This is the last time they want to deal with California's worship limits. Why is California doing this? And what did the court have to say about those restrictions and how they were being applied? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the lifting of COVID worship limits in California with Ryan Tucker of the Alliance Defending Freedom. Then Dr. Ken Sherb joins us for a profile in courage, this time not John F. Kennedy, but Martin Luther. And then we'll spend some time with Pastor Jonathan Fisk in our series on the Book of Proverbs in Proverbs 23. Joining us to talk about the lifting of COVID worship limits in California, Ryan Tucker, Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for Christian Ministries for Alliance Defending Freedom. Ryan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
Are you surprised that the worship restrictions have been lifted in California?
No, I'm not. I just wish it had taken, or they had accomplished it a lot sooner than they did. You know, look, officials certainly have the right to protect the health and safety of its citizens, but they cannot do so at the expense of running roughshod over our First Amendment freedoms. And fortunately here, it took five different trips to the U.S. Supreme Court for California officials to get that message, but apparently the fifth time was a charm this go-around.
What restrictions have California religious observers been under for the last year or so?
Well, quite a number, and it's varied across the state. It's really just a tapestry of different restrictions depending on what county you live in, what part of the state you live in, and honestly, a number of folks, at least that called us, were quite confused by those restrictions, and I think even public officials in many instances were, but it's run the gamut. And of course, the worst restrictions included the complete shutdown of indoor worship services entirely. And that's where you saw a number of these cases making their way to the U.S. Supreme Court saying, look, this is an obvious violation of our free exercise rights.
Tell us about the case Tandon v. Newsom's path to the U.S. Supreme Court.
It was a very quick path. There is a church in Northern California, and like most churches, you know, they have life groups. And so these life groups, they meet off campus. They get together for Bible study in people's homes, but California had a restriction that essentially said if you have more than three households present, then that particular get-together, that gathering, cannot take place. And that really precluded folks from getting together to worship God, to study His Word. And a lawsuit was filed at the district court and federal district court there in Northern California. They requested injunctive relief. That relief was denied. And they took that up on an emergency basis to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, where a three-judge panel also denied that relief. And so recognizing that they were in the right and that they had great constitutional arguments, the individuals that were part of that took that case to the U.S. Supreme Court, where in a very good victory for not just that particular church, but really churches all across the United States, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in their favor, striking down really that part of the California's law.
What did the Supreme Court's five-justice majority have to say about the Ninth Circuit's failure to halt California's religious restrictions?
Well, they were frustrated. As I mentioned before, this was the fifth time that a restriction out of California had reached all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they made very clear, in this decision at least, that you can't treat the church like a second-class citizen. If you've got other secular entities out there, like nail salons, movie theaters, that sort of thing, you know, operating where you have these groups of people getting together, you can't be treating these secular entities worse than the church, or even on the same par. The church has a higher plateau. Our First Amendment rights are valued and certainly don't go away during this time.
Is it significant that Chief Justice Roberts joined the minority in this case?
Well, he had done so in prior cases that had gone all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. He did that last summer in one of our cases involving casinos in Nevada, and he'd done so in other cases as well. And I don't know that it was surprising. You know, you did not see a separate opinion from him in this instance. We know that based upon what he has written on the subject, I think that he has seen greater deference being given to local officials in some of these cases. And so I don't know that we were surprised by it, but we were certainly thrilled by the end result.
When the court said that California's restrictions were not neutral, what does that mean?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, you can't treat a secular activity more favorably than a religious one. You know, it's not an answer that the state treats some comparable secular businesses or activities, you know, as poorly or even less favorably than the religious one. And so with regard to, again, movie theaters, nail salons, you know, gyms, all these places where people gather, you can't be treating them better. And it's of no consequence that one happens to be for a religious purpose and the other not. There was this argument that, oh, well, these individuals that are getting together to study God's word, well, they may know one another, they may be more comfortable with one another, and so somehow inherently that presented a greater risk. You can't assume the worst in people that are wanting to exercise their faith, and the court made that very clear in this decision.
How did the court instruct lawmakers to compare religious and secular activities?
Well, when you are willing as a lawmaker to place restrictions on the church that you really aren't placing on secular activities, then you better have a good reason for doing so. You actually have to meet the highest level of scrutiny. There's different tiers of scrutiny in this First Amendment analysis, and the court made very clear that if you do treat a secular activity or business better than the church, then there has to be a reason of the highest magnitude for doing so. And oftentimes that hurdle, that barrier is not met, and certainly here it was not.
Why did the court place the burden of proof then on the government when enacting restrictions on religious activities?
Well, it's a true First Amendment analysis versus one that gives deference to local officials. And in months past, if you go back, you know, about 10 months ago, you saw a reverse of that standard. We had a case, another case out of California, reached the U.S. Supreme Court back in May. And in that case, the court really was applying what I would call, again, a deferential standard. It wasn't a high threshold or burden for the government to meet, but following the Supreme Court's decision this past Thanksgiving in the Diocese of Brooklyn, and then, you know, underscored in recent decisions, and certainly this recent one, the court made very clear that the lens by which you look through to analyze these cases is indeed the First Amendment, not some sort of lesser standard.
How did the court respond to California's attempt to moot the case by withdrawing restrictions while the case was on its way to the Supreme Court?
Well, not well. It specifically pointed out that the state can't play by those sorts of games. You know, since the state might still reinstitute those restrictions, the case was not moot. You can't, as a governmental body, say, I have these rules today. You face a litigation threat and decide to pull it back and say, oh, I've pulled that back, so now the case is no longer ripe for determination. Recognizing that you're still holding the ability to reinstitute those restrictions, that's a fallacy. That's something that the court looked down upon and specifically commented on in this case in determining that it still had the jurisdiction to rule on this case.
Finally, this is the fifth time, as you mentioned before, that the court has ruled on California's COVID restrictions. What is the court's overall message to all states and all governors?
Well, stop treating churches like second-class citizens. Not all of them have done that, of course, but some have repeatedly not gotten the message from the U.S. Supreme Court following that decision I mentioned earlier in last November, where in New York, the Diocese of Brooklyn took that case all the way to the highest court. The court made very clear that you can't be treating houses of worship, in that instance, cathedrals or Jewish synagogues, you can't be treating these houses of worship more favorably than the bike repair shop, than the secular business down the street. And that message resonated with many governors following that decision. But that was over 5 months ago. And the court made very clear here, again, as you mentioned, this fifth go around, that they were done with dealing with California's COVID restrictions. And fortunately for the folks in California, those restrictions are no longer present.
Ryan Tucker is senior counsel and director of the Center for Christian Ministries for Alliance Defending Freedom. You'll find a link to Alliance Defending Freedom at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Ryan, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be with Dr. Ken Sherb on the other side of the break, talking about Martin Luther, A Profile in Courage. You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Early bird registration is $135. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bath Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.